this morning as part three of our seminar on the life and teachings of Srila Haridas Thakur. We're again speaking from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anchalil chapter 3. I believe this is text 53, 54, and 55. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jai Go Bhaktavindam Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jai Go Bhaktavindam Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavindam Haridasa Kahe Prabhu Chinta Na Kariha Yavanera Shamsara Dheki Dukha Na Baviha. Haridas Thakur replied, "My dear Lord, do not be in anxiety. Do not be unhappy to see the condition of the Yavanas in material existence. Yavana Shakalera Mukti Habe Anayase Haram Haram Bhale Kahe Namabhase." Because the Yavanas are accustomed to saying Haram, Haram, O Lord Ramachandra, they will very easily be delivered from this Namabhasa. Mahaprema Bhakta Kahe Haram, Haram, Yavanera Bhakya Deka Laya Senam. A devotee in advanced ecstatic love exclaims, "O my Lord Ramachandra, O my Lord Ramachandra." But the Yavanas also chant Harama, Harama. Just see their good fortune. Purport. If a child touches fire, the fire will burn him. And if an elderly man touches fire, it will burn him also. Haridas Thakur says that a great devotee of the Lord exclaims, Harama, Harama. But although Yavanas do not know the transcendental meaning of Harama, Harama, they also say the words in the course of their ordinary life. For the Yavanas, the words harama mean abominable, horrible. Whereas the devotee exclaims the words harama in ecstatic love. Nevertheless, because the words harama are the spiritual sunam bonum, the fact is the same, whether they are uttered by Yavanas or by great devotees. Just as fire is the same both for a child and for an elderly man. In other words, the holy name of the Lord, Harama, always acts, even when the holy name is chanted without reference to the Supreme Lord. Yavanas utter the holy name in a different attitude than devotees, but the holy name Harama is so powerful spiritually that it acts anywhere, whether one knows it or not. This is explained as follows. So taking off where we left off, yesterday, as you remember, we were discussing the pastime of Ramachandra Khan trying to defame Haridas Thakur by sending a prostitute to engage him. And I believe we analyzed that pastime sufficiently. But as a footnote, I wanted to mention the fate of Ramachandra Khan. Some devotees were asking me after, what happened to him? Well, you can imagine. We want to mention that as well as to give a warning to those who might ever contemplate offending a Vaishnava of the caliber of Haridas Thakur, or any Vaishnava for that matter. One time, Brahmananda Prabhu, at that time Brahmananda Swami, was traveling with Śrīla Prabhupāda, and Prabhupāda was doing an initiation ceremony. So at the initiation ceremony, traditionally, we discuss the 10 offenses to the holy name, because the initiates are getting initiation into the holy name. So Prabhupada looked at Brahmananda Swami and said, you give the lecture on the holy names, on the offenses to the holy name. So the first offense to the holy name is to blaspheme devotees who have dedicated their lives for spreading the glories of the Lord. So Brahmananda Swami began speaking, and he said, this is the most serious offense. This means that we should not offend the spiritual master, who, of course, is spreading the glories. And Prabhupada interrupted. He said, no, not just the spiritual master, any Vaishnava who is preaching. So this pastime in particular, the pastime or pastimes of Srila Haridasa Thakura, there's many lessons to be learned, but one of the lessons is, I say, buyer beware. Let those who, out of total ignorance, may offend a devotee, let them understand what will be the result. I could speak for hours on the subject, but the fate of such a person is his life is in great jeopardy. While a devotee may not take offense, this is the humble nature of a Vaishnava, that if you offend him, he can easily forgive and forget. This is the sign of his humility. It's demonstrated in his ability to forgive and forget, not that he just goes like this. He's very humble, but his actions show his character, that he's able to forgive and forget. The Lord won't forget. He loves his devotees too much. Just like when the Lord is offended, devotee stands up for the Lord. And when the devotee is offended, the Lord stands up for his devotee. Love is a two-way street. Love is reciprocal. Sometimes Prabhupada would become angry when Krishna was offended by the Mayavadis, by their speaking. Some people in the audience would say, well, he's a sadhu, he's getting so angry. They don't understand. This is the nature of love. My father had a big scar on his forehead here, and I just took it for granted. And you know, when I was about 10 years old, we were sitting at the dinner table. I said, Daddy, where'd you get that scar? It's like, 10 years. And my mom said, he defended me in a fight. We just met, and we were walking out of the cafe, and some ruffians came up and said that my skirt was too short, and I was ugly as a baboon. And your father beat all five of them up because he loves me. A mundane analogy, but like that. It's the nature of love. Krishna loves his devotees too much. Not too much, because love in Krishna consciousness is unlimited, but Krishna shows, he explains, he reveals how much he loves his devotees. In the ninth canto, I believe you're studying this chapter here at New Govardhan. Aham bhakta paradhino yashvatranta iva dhuija shadubir grashta hridayo bhaktir bhakta janapriya. That's such a lovely verse. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said to the Brahman, I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not at all independent. Because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires, I sit only within the core of their hearts. What to speak of my devotee? Even those who are devotees of my devotee are dear to me. Oh, Krishna, thank you. We don't consider ourselves devotees, but because we're devotees of Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, we get included. So when a devotee is offended, the reaction for the offense may or may not come from the Lord himself. You can't hide from Krishna. He's situated in the heart of every living entity. He's in the cell of every atom. He's all-pervasive by his energies, and he's in the spiritual world. He's cognizant of everything, avijñā svarat. So you can't hide from him. You can maybe hide from the devotee you offended, but you can't hide from the Lord. And he loves devotees too much. So he may or may not punish you, but you can't hide. In 1946, the famous Bhakta Joe Lewis, this is going way back before your times, just before his, I think it was a rematch, which he won, with his opponent. His opponent was called Billy Kahn. And Billy Kahn was lighter and faster than Joe Louis. Joe Louis was a big man. He had a special punch. But this his opponent was really light and he could bounce around. So Joe Louis said famously in the microphone, he took the microphone before the match and he said, "You can run, but you can't hide." So a humble Vaishnava will not react when he's offended, but the Lord may. And later on we'll see how Jagai and Maidai, after they'd made the grievous offense of Madhai hitting Nitai on the head with the pot and causing blood to come, Mahaprabhu came and then they went on their knees and they expressed remorse. And they promised to change their conduct. "Yes, sir, we will immediately change and become proper devotees of the Lord." So at that time, Lord Chaitanya's gesture of mercy, he picked them up and embraced them, effectively accepting them as his disciples. But something seemingly terrible, very terrible, happened at that time. That his beautiful golden form, because Mahaprabhu is known as the golden avatar, he takes on the mood of Srimati Radharani, and therefore his ambience is golden. And devotees that he's famous for, they love that, his golden appearance. It turned black, inky black, not sham. Sham means like a fresh rain cloud. Fresh rain clouds, like a real beautiful kind of bluish, grayish. This is Krishna's color. Actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said one time, "With these eyes, materialized, you can't see the colors of the spiritual world." He said, "In this world, there's a few colors. In the spiritual world, the colors are unlimited. And you can't see the real blue of Krishna's body now. You can paint it blue, but it's not like the real blue." So Mahaprabhu's or golden body didn't turn sham, it turned black, like inky black, like the night. And the devotees started screaming, like, "What happened? Gauranga!" Like Jayavataka Maharaj, "Gauranga! Go!" What had happened is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had absorbed all the sinful reactions of Jagai and Madhai. And the result was his body turned his color. And everyone stood there aghast. You could hear a pin drop. So very slowly Mahaprabhu turned to everyone. He held up his arms and revealed this golden form had changed like this. And then he paused and he said, "I have taken on the sinful reactions of Jagai and Madhai, and henceforward, anyone who offends a Vaishnava, I will give them all these sinful reactions." We say in Polish, uwaga. Uwaga. I don't know Polish, but I hear that all the time. Watch out. Uwaga. This is a warning to those who may consciously or unconsciously, sometimes people consciously offend the Vaishnavas. An unconscious sin is one thing, a conscious sin is another. To know it's not right is one thing, but to know it's right and do it is bad. That's why India is in a very precarious situation, because they have the Vedas. They know what is right and wrong from A to Z, and they're not following, so the reaction could be serious in the future. So we must be very careful not to offend devotees, and these are lessons to be learned from, one of the lessons to be learned from this pastime. Unfortunately, Ramachandra Khan couldn't understand because he was covered by illusion due to his strong attachment to his name and his fame and his money and his prestige and his honor. But what happened, to make a long story short, a little later down the line after offending Haridas Thakur, his village was attacked by the Muslims. They desecrated it in various ways, which I will not describe in detail. And they actually destroyed everything, including his position, his wealth, and his followers. Uwaga. Soon afterwards, Haridas Thakur left and traveled to another village some distance away called Chandapura to give another lesson. This is the sadhus do. They don't just wander aimlessly. they travel for the purpose of enlightening others not as fortunate as themselves. It's not that they're wandering aimlessly. There's a purpose in everything they do. So after this particular episode, Haridas Thakur traveled to another village called Chandapur, and there he stayed with some devotee friends. And one day another envious person named Gopal Chakravarti, he was a wealthy tax collector, he offended Haridas Thakur. Poor Haridas. For the crime of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. This unfortunate person, Gopal Chakravarti, who was very beautiful, not quite as beautiful as Haridas Thakur. Everywhere I'm reading about Haridas, it just describes how handsome he was, how his eyes were like lotuses. They went to this, in his nose and his features and his body and his arms extended down to his hands extended to his knees. He was a very, very beautiful person. This tax collector, Gopal Chakravarti, he was also a very handsome man. And one day, Haridas Thakur, an august assembly of learned personalities, they were getting together and not discussing world politics and mundane news and sports. They were discussing the glories of the Lord. This is what advanced persons do. They come together and they talk about Krishna. So Haridas Thakur was glorifying the holy name. That's his life and soul. He was explaining how the glories of the Lord are that the glories of the holy name is that one can achieve prema. He said other things are come about as well, like by chanting you can get free from sinful reactions and you can achieve moksha and liberation. He said these are just kind of the side benefits of chanting. Even nambas, even by chanting unconsciously, you can get those benefits. But the real glory of the holy name is you get prema. O Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain, feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. So this Gopal Chakravarti, he says, what you're saying is not, you can't get moksha, you can't get sinful, freedom from sinful reactions by unconscious chanting. That's not right. And he screamed very loudly. He said, if it turns out that your explanation of chanting Hare Krishna is wrong, I will cut off your nose. Everyone was like, you, now, shock. What? So Haridas Thakur, and he smiled. He said, if my explanation of the holy name is not correct, I'll cut off my own nose. There's so many pastimes to cover in the seminar. To make a long story short, the beautiful nose of Gopal Chakravarti fell off. A few weeks later, he contracted leprosy. Not only that, but the tips of his fingers and his toes, they also fell off. So, again, another warning. Buyer beware. To offend those who have dedicated their lives for spreading the glories of the Lord, which would mean any devotee actually in this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, because Prabhupada describes Samkirtan. He said Sam means complete, and Kirtan means glorification of the Lord. So Samkirtan means the complete glorification of the Lord due to the efforts of all the devotees together. Some devotees are on the front line, some devotees are behind, you know, packing the books and cooking the prasad and raising the kids and making the money, but altogether it makes some kirtan. So this doesn't just mean that you offend a leader, but you may offend any devotee. This is serious. We have to be careful in our dealings with the devotees. But when it comes to the level of, you know, big offending a great devotee or offending the devotees in mass, then the effects can ripple throughout not only the families, the region, but even the whole world. This is how Krishna sees it. He loves his devotees too much. In his commentary, in a purport to the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he wrote, by oppressing the Vaishnava, Vaishnavas in these ways, and he's commenting on these particular pastimes of Haridas Thakur, great inauspiciousness is occurred. Simply as a result of torturing the Vaishnavas, the entire world faces miseries like famine, drought, plague, and war. Wow. I remember giving a class one time at a university in which I mentioned Prabhupada's statement in Srimad Bhagavatam in the purport, where he says that World War I and World War II were the results, the karma for the mass slaughter of and slaughterhouses of innocent cows. I remember the students like, what? Wasn't it Stalin and Hitler and Mussolini? No, they're simply the instruments in the hands of the Lord. Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha, Jagaditaya Krishnaya, Govindaya, Namo Namaha. What is dear to the Lord? Many things are dear to the Lord, but in particular, the brahmanas, because they're continuing his mission in this world, he comes and establishes dharma, and when he goes, they carry on. Like the sons carry on the business of the father. So the sons are dear to the father. So dharma is carried on by the brahmanas, the pakka brahmanas. They're always preaching, reminding us, atato brahma jignasya, human life is meant, self-realization, Krishna consciousness. And the cows, as peaceful and lazy as they look in the fields, I mean, they really look lazy down here at New Govardhan. They're so happy, they're so fat, they can't even move. I drive to the house I'm staying every day, and there's like 20 cows. They've only moved 2 feet since I've been here for 1 week. And they provide this community the dut, the milk. Many of you are vegan, but it's fine to drink the milk from the protected cows. That's fine. We should drink the milk. Milk is meant for human beings. The calf only takes a certain, she gets full. And there's still a lot of milk in the milk bag because by Krishna's arrangement, the cows produce more milk than the calf can drink for you and me because milk is a miracle substance, probably has a miracle property. By drinking it, the finer cells in the brain are nourished to understand Bhagavad Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam. So we're veganese, not vegan, but veganese. We agree. More than anyone, we agree that the slaughter of cows. But if the cow is there, she likes giving her milk. And it goes for you, and she gets the benefit of the milk being offered to the deity and you drinking it. So this is a complete understanding of our approach to that. So namo brahmanya devaya, go brahmanya hitaya. So when the Lord's representatives on the earth, which are here to promote dharma, are persecuted, uvaga. Prabhupada goes so far, they may not be able to understand it, even how can we understand, but with shraddha, with faith, we understand these things. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the intricacies of karma are difficult to understand. How karma is working. You know, we think tit for tat, but it's just, everything's just so complex in this world. How it's all going on, but we accept Guru Shastra Sadhana. That when the cows are abused, and when the brahmins are abused, and people abuse their own loved ones, their own children in the womb, over 80 million children are killed every year through abortion. Millions and millions of cows, and other brothers and sisters in the forms of goats, chickens, fish. You think there's not going to be a reaction? Wait and see. So Bhakti Sanaswati, this is we discuss, we don't say this really in public. I mean, I did mention it one time, 1973, University of Michigan. The Bhagavad Gita class is for the general public, and Bhagavatam class is confidentially for the devotees. We don't go out and say, you're going to burn in hell forever if you don't. No, we understand that they're lost souls, they're confused. So we try to, we may not say this face to face, we do it a different way. We open a Govinda's restaurant. Without having to say anything, they get attached to prasadam. and they naturally give up the sinful act. Krishna consciousness is so easy. Param drishti nivartante. Through the higher taste, we naturally give up the lower taste. Such a wonderful process. Otherwise, none of us would be sitting here today. So this is the result of offending the Vaishnavas. It's a, devotees and their ways are difficult to understand by materialists. This, like, sometimes I'm traveling and people like, where are you coming from? You even smell different. Lots of times I'm going through security and they open up my bags and the ladies are opening the bags and they, this is, and the man says, you're doing a search. You're not supposed to smell the perfume. They can't understand us. So because they don't understand us, they may miscalculate, misjudge us, we're different, so they may offend us. You have to be tolerant. Yanra chitte Krishna prema karaya udhaya tanra vakya kriya mudra vignaya na budhaya. Even the most learned man cannot understand the words, activities, and symptoms of a person situated in love of God. You may think he's a madman. When Narottam Das Thakur got prema in the river, because Mahaprabhu had deposited his prema there for the future when the boy was born, Narottam Das Thakur, who succeeded, carried on the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went in the river, he got the prema, he became mad. So mad that he came and fell out on the beach, and all the people thought he was possessed by a ghost. So they brought an exorcist there to bring the ghost out. It didn't work. Gauranga! 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 Tears are flowing. They couldn't understand. Only a few Vaishnavas, elder sadhus. This is very nice. So even the most learned man cannot understand the bhav, the mood, and the actions of and activities of a person situated in love of God. But if one oppresses such a person out of ignorance, then one can expect the appropriate action. So we have to educate people who are the Vaishnavas. And that we do by personal association. We go out. I said yesterday, people don't always buy the book, they buy the person selling the book. Right? You're peaceful, you're happy, you're enthusiastic, you're learned, you're compassionate, you listen to their life story. How many times have we heard, you meet someone and 5 minutes later they're just pouring their heart out to you. This is why we have to go out to preach the divine. We can't expect people will come here. We have to go out. We have to reach out. The outreach programs. Everybody's, not just the book, everybody, all of you have been touched by Guru and Gauranga's mercy. Every one of you have something more to offer than anything else they have in their life. Not that you have to be trained in Sankirtan. Never that we didn't go through a training session, you know. One day I shaved my head, the next day I'm trying to play mridanga on the street corner of Detroit, you know, trying to sell them. It worked. The first man I ever approached, he, well, this looked interesting. How much is it? Let me go ask. I forgot to ask him. It's a quarter. Okay, thank you. So Hari Das Thakur, he set the example for us that when offended like this, he, quite, you know, we say, turn the other cheek, and just walk away. You don't have to get hit a second time. But it's interesting, again, that Hari Das Thakur himself didn't seek revenge on his attackers. He never felt any hatred towards them. He just felt they were covered over. I like to tell the story that one time I had to have an operation. I'd been singing so much on the streets for like 15 years, and we didn't have microphones in those days. We didn't have harmoniums and trumpets and saxophones. We went out with the kol and the kartal, mridanga and the kartal, and we would sing with 20 devotees with no microphone. You can't even imagine what it was like in the old days. There was no microphone. So we sang. So I developed this nodule on my vocal cords. It was like strain, like a hernia on the vocal cords. So I went to the doctor, and he sent me to the hospital, and they did an operation. They put me to sleep, and they were going to slice off the nodule. So they put me to sleep, And I woke up in the middle of the operation because the anesthesiologist didn't give me enough anesthesia. It's a very delicate science. And the anesthesia people, they get paid good money to keep you asleep for that reason. Or they don't go too to sleep that you die. They explained all this to me recently. Anyway, so I woke up in the middle of the operation and I'm groggy. I'm coming out of an anesthesia. And I see this masked man with a knife in front of my face. He was a doctor, of course, but I, you know, when you first wake up, you don't know you're over there, here, or there, or whatever. I woke up and there's a masked man with a knife in front of the scalpel. So I went. And then the anesthesiologist. So I. The operation was meant to last 45 minutes. They put me to sleep for 3 hours to make sure. And I woke up in the recovery room, or rather, actually took me to my hospital room. I had a private room. And I woke up as the doctor was coming in to, you know, they check up on you afterward, and the nurse. And the doctor had this big bandage on his nose. And he had a splint there. He had a splint. And the nurse, she was red with it. She was just screaming at me. You hit the doctor! I did what? You hit the doctor! I did? So the doctor, he had a different mood. He went, no, it's okay, because he was under the influence of the medication, the anesthesia. He didn't really know what he was doing. So you have to forgive him. She didn't forgive me. But he did. He came over and he's looking at me and I said, how are you? I said, how are you? He said, boy, you got a good right punch. You broke my nose in 3 places. I said, I'm really sorry. He said, no. I understand. It's not the real you. So the ways of the Lord are mysterious. He teaches us lessons in many ways, and we should always think that Krishna has not forgotten us. If we're going through a difficult experience, it's actually meant to teach us a lesson. He teaches us. Whatever Krishna does is good. We won't tell that story, but isn't it? And I thought about that, and many times on Sankirtan, when people would come and they'd scream at me or hit me or spit on me. One time I was walking down the Quartier Latin during the days of the student revolutions there, and like this, and the group of about 20 boys surrounded me, and they all spit on me. I was just covered in there, and I had to go home and take a bath and come back and continue the Sankirtan. But I was thinking, you know, I have to be like the doctor. You know, it's not the real them. They're covered by the mode of ignorance. They're covered by the mode of passion, and they don't know what they're doing. Just like Jesus Christ, he was on the cross. Prabhupada would sometimes mention Jesus as someone who sacrificed. And he was nailed to the cross, and the soldier had speared him, you remember, in the side there, like that, and he had the crown of thorns, and he had every reason to be hateful to them, but he looked at the skies and he said, Father, they know not what they do, please forgive them. Now, of course, this is a very advanced stage of Krishna consciousness, but this is the epitome, this is the climax of being humble and tolerant. Trinada Pisanichina, Torda Pisahishnana, Amanina, Amanina, Kirtani, Yatsara Hari. It isn't just demonstrated by the fact that I'm sitting in the temple room in the corner and I'm very humble, I'm not chanting loudly. It means you go out to preach the divine command, and when people attack you, then you show some tolerance and some humility. You try to forgive them. Of course, there are occasions when a devotee may take offense in his preaching because the preaching is being interrupted by the atheist. Maybe he may show some anger and some take some retaliation, just like we mentioned an incident where Srila Prabhupada became angry when the Mayavadis were saying, there's no God, there's no Krishna. Like, hello, Prabhupada can see Krishna, and you're saying there's no Krishna? And he's trying to revive people's Krishna consciousness, and Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, all the voidists and impersonalists are denouncing that, so Prabhupada's glorified in his prana mantra for defeating this atheism around the world, which is the real disease of the conditioned soul, atheism, forgetfulness of God. One time during the battle for Mumbai, our Bombay project, it's a great historical incident in our movement, how Prabhupada desired there be a temple in Bombay, and how he acquired the land, and then there was some unscrupulous persons trying to take the land, and how Prabhupada fought for that land. He fought for Krishna. At the end of that fight, he said, that was a good fight. But fight it was. Now it's history, so you can read it, and you know the conclusion. But, you know, when you're in the middle of a fight, you don't know who's going to win until there's the winner. May the best man win. So it was a battle. It wasn't that, you know, it was sure and certain that we would get that land. And Prabhupada's promise to Radharasa Bihari that he would build a temple for them there would be fulfilled. So there were some pretty critical moments in that. And we thank our dear godbrother, His Holiness, His Divine Grace, Giriraj Swami, who's writing a book now on that particular episode in the history of ISKCON. We have our Leelamrita by Satsvarup Maharaj. But this is a particularly important moment in Prabhupada's attempts to establish Krishna consciousness in this world. So Maharaj is writing a whole book because he was there. And at one point, to keep a long story short, you can read the book later, but there was one particular person involved. The main person in the opposition was a Mr. Nair, who, you know, in many different ways was keeping us from establishing that project. Really doing his best to cheat Prabhupada, to cheat the devotees, to cheat Krishna. And it just dragging on and dragging on and dragging on, and then going to the courts, and we're spending so much money, and, you know, Prabhupada just wanted to build a temple for the glorification of Krishna so people could come and take the Lord's darshan. And here's this rascal placing every obstacle in the way so he can get money. Money is the honey, money is the honey, it's so sweet. Anyway, Prabhupada wanted this area to resound with glorification of Radharasa Bihari and the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So it appeared it might not happen, that Mr. Nair, through his cheating in various ways, we'd paid the money, but it's a long story, but it looked like he was going to get the land. So, Prabhupada's in some traveling, preaching somewhere in some foreign country, and then a telephone call comes in. Prabhupada receives the call, and a little smile comes across his face. And Prabhupada's secretary, can't remember who it was at that time, asked Prabhupada, what was that, Prabhupada? And Prabhupada said, Mr. Nair has passed away. And then Prabhupada says, in confidence to that devotee, I actually prayed to Lord Nrisimhadeva to take care of that man. So buyer beware. So soon after Gopal Chakravarti was put in his place, Haridas Thakur set off again, this time to Shantipur. Again, the sadhus, they come into our association, they instruct us, they teach us by their words, by their example, and then they move on. A rolling stone gathers no moss. We need that there in society. So Haridas is renunciate, he's traveling, he was in Benapole, Chandipur. That lesson was instructed, and then he went to Shantipur. But he had a special reason for going to Shantipur, because one of his good friends is there, Advaitacharya. Both of them were there, here in this world, before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This, like we were saying the other day, the scene was set, just like I was explaining, some of you weren't here. I watched this whole scenery develop here. This was just a parking lot, but Ajita Prabhu and his crew, again, all glories to them, they were set. They didn't even know how to put this tent up. They just had it. They never put it up by themselves. They're like, I'm going to do this. But the scene was set so that we could come and have our festival. So the Lord often sends his devotees before him to set the scene, like those devotees from whom he'll make his appearance. Nanda Yashoda, Devaki and Vasudev, Sachi Mata Jagannath Mishra, like that. So Haridasa Thakur and Advaita Acharya, they appeared before. I think Advaita was much older, but Haridasa Thakur appeared 35 years before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was a little older. So Haridasa Thakur and Advaita Acharya, they were good friends. So he went there to take the association, just to get associated. It wasn't on a preaching mission. Sometimes you got to like retreat and charge your batteries. It's like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, from time to time, a devotee must go to a solitary place where there's no distraction and simply focus on chanting his japa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. By Prabhupada's mercy, we're all busy as bees because we couldn't sit and chant in a solitary place for very long, and we get purified and we need to spread them out. But from time to time, we have to step back, go someplace, some solitary place, and for some extended period of time, we have to do bhajan. And we have to do the bhajan, not solitary bhajan, we have to do our bhajan in the association of other devotees, that combination. Samsara sarpadushtanam vachitanam kolo yuge asadham bhagavan namah srimad vaishnava shevanam. Those who have been bitten by the serpent of Kali Yuga should get relief from that poisonous effect by asadham bhagavan namah, by chanting the holy names srimad vaishnava shevanam while serving the lotus feet of devotees. This combination is not just chanting, but Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sangapanga Shaparshadam Yagnai Sankirtan Prayar Jantihi. Then it takes on a special quality, because your chanting may not necessarily attract the attention of the Lord. It may not be so pure. But if you're in the association, a congregation, a society, international society for Krishna consciousness, this process works because it's authorized. Therefore, you will find neophyte devotees, you'll find intermediate devotees, and you will find advanced devotees of the Lord. You will. And there's so many wonderful senior devotees in this movement, both from the first generation and from the second generation. I can see the third generation coming up as well. So when you're chanting in the association of many devotees, then the chances of the Lord hearing that prayer and you getting the benefit are much better. It's like if you go to the city hall, you've got a complaint. I don't like this about this new policy that, you know, you're outside and they're having the mayor's meeting with his city council and you're screaming out on the pavement. The mayor says, close the window. But if you come with 1,000 people who have the same concern and, you know, you're banging on the doors and the windows, we don't like this policy, mayor says, bring them up, we'll discuss. So therefore, Krishna Varnam Tusha, therefore we chant in a congregation. It's one of the benefits. And the other benefits, devotees are so sweet. Last night was so ecstatic. It was so much fun. I just wish we could go on all night. They were saying, Gauranga, enough. Material body can't keep up with our spiritual desires, but that's a good sign. So, Haridasa Thakur went for the Sangha, for association. Just like myself and Sri Prahlad, we traveled, how many years? 18 years together. And then he entered the Grihastha ashram and married this beautiful young girl, lady, charismatic, so many good devotional qualities, and they're doing so much wonderful service in the Sydney area. But the connection is there, the friendship is there, so we have all agreed that 2 weeks out of every year, despite Prahlad's busy professorship and his valuable preaching, so many of you are here as a result of his preaching, we have a transcendental deal that we'll spend at least 2 weeks together traveling somewhere in the world. We need this in our spirit. You need this type of deep friendship and Krishna consciousness to advance. So this Advaita saints, who's his association? Advaitacharya, wow. So, but the problem, there was a little problem in their relationship. Not really a problem, it appeared. Advaitacharya really loved Haridasa Thakura because he was Namacharya. And the chanting of the holy name is the Yuga Dharma, and he's demonstrating he's the best, he's the spiritual master of the whole world, according to Sanatana Goswami. These things were like discussed in these groups, the Sangha, you know. They're always speaking about the glories of their devotees, not what they're doing wrong. They have faith that whatever may go wrong will be purified by the devout chanting of Hare Krishna. So he really loved him, and he was always glorifying him. And Haridasa Thakura, the nature of a humble devotee, doesn't like to be praised. No, that credit goes to my spiritual master, Krishna. What do you... But Acharya was always glorifying Haridasa Thakura. And Haridasa Thakura was also concerned because Advaitacharya was born in a Pukka Brahmana family, and of course everyone knew Haridasa Thakura's history. He was born in a Muslim family. So Advaita, who was a strict Brahmana, was, in the eyes of some of the population, was glorifying a Yavana. They couldn't accept that a Yavana could come to the stage of being purified because that wasn't the caste system, if we call it today. That wasn't the norm of the society like that. So Haridasa was concerned for his friend. If you keep speaking to me like that, then you'll be criticized. There were different standards, social standards. It was not acceptable to the people and to the high-class brahmanas that Advaitacharya was glorifying someone born outside the system of Varnashrama. He was born in a meat-eating culture. And here's Advaitacharya offering praise and glory upon someone born like that. It's causing concern for the general community. But Advaitacharya didn't see like that. And in some years later, the Yuga Avatar didn't see like that. They understood differently. They understood that irregardless of one's birth, if one takes to the authorized process of Krishna consciousness, anyone and everyone can become to the stage of Shatva, or goodness, or Sudhasattva, Vaishnava. And that was that famous shloka by Sanatana Goswami, which we quoted the other day, and we will continue to quote for many years to come, because it should be known. Yata kancha yatam yati kamsham rasa vidhanataha tata diksha vidanina dvijatam jayate ninam. As bell metal is turned into gold when mixed with mercury in an alchemical process, which means a little mystical, so one who is properly initiated by a bona fide spiritual master immediately becomes a Brahmana Vaishnava. That's very hard for the caste, the smarter Brahmins, because they think that you can only achieve perfection in spiritual life if you're born in a Brahmin family and you take diksha within your sampradaya. Everyone else, you wait a few births, you make some progress, and one day you'll be born a Brahmana, and then you... But that's not the actual understanding. When Srila Prabhupada came back to India for the first time after having gone to the West and made many wonderful disciples, he brought some of the disciples back with him, and even some of his godbrothers were criticizing, "You've given diksha to these hippies from Haight-Ashbury? We've seen the photos. You know, they're long hair, they're intoxicated, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And you initiated them?" And they would say, as a pot which has been held wine, can a wine-stained pot, they say, clay pot, cannot be used in a yajna because it's contacted an impure substance. It can't be used in a yajna. You can't engage these Western boys and girls. You can't give them diksha. Just let them eat. Or let them stand in the back and hear. But they can't take, you know, initiation into this. You can't initiate them. Now they're wearing sacred threads. They were criticizing one godbrother in particular. So Prabhupada had a conversation. He said they were there saying, "Prabhupada, there's so many sinful reactions in their heart. How can you initiate them?" So Prabhupada said, Okay. What's more powerful? The accumulated sinful reactions of millions of lives? Yes, that's very powerful. But what's more powerful? All those accumulated karmic reactions or one holy name of Krishna? What's more powerful? And the Godbrother, because he's a Vaishnava, he had to admit, yes, Namachintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, the holy name is Krishna. So how can any material, something mundane, material, as ugly or powerful, how could that be more powerful than Krishna's name? Just like the sun can purify the most filthy place by evaporating the water. Sri Krishna's holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Cheto dharpanamarjanam. Whatever is there, even the stickiest, blackest part of the pot when you burn the milk and you're scrubbing the pot, even that goes away. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So Dvaitacharya understood this. They were preparing for the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is for everyone. In fact, he takes great pleasure in delivering the most fallen to show the power of chanting the holy names. So therefore, Dvaitacharya was glorifying Hari. Yes, he was born in a Muslim family, but he is not only just a devotee, he's the spiritual master of the whole world. He chants 300,000 names a day. He chants 192, and he finds the time to go out and deliver people. You smart brahmanas. So he went so far as to honor him in public, to let it be known. Like it or not, he's the best amongst us. I'm going to show it to you. He offered the results of the Shraddha ceremony to Haridas Thakur. Shraddha is prasad offered to the forefathers at a certain time of the year. It's a big, you know, your forefathers, you're following in their tradition, you're benefiting from them, and this was in Vedic culture. Your forefathers were great brahmanas or mystics or devotees, whatever the case. So there's a ceremony where you cook and the prasad is offered to, out of gratitude, and then it's prasad. And the plate is then, in the assembly of hundreds or thousands of august assembly, you call forward the most qualified brahmana in the audience and you offer the plate to him. And he takes a little and distributes. It's a huge honor. I was trying to think what we can compare it with in our modern society, but I couldn't come up with it. Because I went to bed late, I didn't sleep much. I can't think what I'm going to think. Anyways, forget it. Anyway, at one particular point, they had this Shraddha ceremony, and there's Haridas Thakur sitting in the back in his humility, Hare Krishna, and all the Brahmins waiting to be called. And Dvaitacharya says, Nam Charya Haridas Thakur. What? You mean the Yavana? No, the Namacharya. The Yavana? No. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. As bell metal is changed into gold, the heart can be purified by this name. How is it we would never chant our 16 rounds? Understanding the glories of the holy name, we wouldn't want to miss a syllable. And just to be sure, we chant a few extra ones in case we didn't chant a few of those right. This should be the result of hearing these discourses. So Dvaitacharya is making a public statement to show that a sincere devotee of the Lord, irregardless of his birth, is greater than a brahmana or a Vaishnava. Right out of the Bhagavatam, oh, how glorious are they whose tongues are chanting your holy name. Even if born in the family of dog eaters, such persons are worshipable. Persons who chant the holy name of your lordship must have executed all kinds of austerities and fire sacrifices and achieved all the good manners of the Aryans. To be chanting your holy name, my lord, they must have bathed at all holy places of pilgrimage, studied the Vedas, and fulfilled everything required. All glories to the holy name. All glories to the chanters of the holy name. Of course, the caste-conscious brahmanas, they were furious. Revenge! So, they started preaching otherwise against Haridas Thakur and Advaitacharya. And, you know, but Haridas Thakur was outnumbered. He was a real pioneer. And we should remember, lest we forget, those who worked so hard to establish the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even before he came, while he was here, and all the acharyas who in various ways, time, place, and circumstance, have set the foundation for this movement, for our beloved Śrīla Prabhupāda to be able to go to the West as their glorious emissary and preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. There's a long history here. We're sitting here because of the wonderful service and many times the sacrifice of many Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, and we should remember them. In America, we have a day for that, for the soldiers who gave their lives for defending the freedom of America. It's called Memorial Day. We have a festival. We chant Hare Krishna on that day. But we do remember. Even in Russia, when you get married, the first place you go after your marriage ceremony is you go to the tomb of the unknown soldiers, and you give thanks to the Russian boys and girls who sacrificed their lives and the Great War of World War II, so that the society was what it is today. So we should also remember. We should also remember the wonderful devotees in our times, our generation. Devotees like Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Sridhar Swami and Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj and Gopi Puranandana and Sadaputa. So many. Lest we should not forget. Prabhupada established the policy. He made Jayananda Prabhu our first saint. I think the GBC should consider that other devotees who have sacrificed, it's important. So, Haridas Thakur, he's up against the multitudes. And they're saying, this is not right. Even sudras, he was quoting verses like, Mamhi Partha Vyaspitya, Yepi Su Yuna. Papa Yonaya, Shtriyu Vaishastata Sudras, Tepi Yanti Param Gatim. Krishna says, O son of Pritha, those who take shelter of me, be they of lower birth, women, Vaishas, merchants, Sudras, they can all attain the supreme destination. So where does this philosophy come that only you born in a particular family? It's not there in the Gita. So what was true 5,000 years ago? And 500 years ago is true today. Prabhupada was adamant about this, and he defended. He once gave a lecture, and he said, one may be born in a poor family, like a shoemaker or a carpenter, but if he's determined, he can become a doctor. So Advaitacharya had no problem giving the Shraddha plate to Haridas Thakur because he saw him as the spiritual master of the whole world. In fact, when he gave the plate, he didn't have a microphone, but he stood up boldly, devotees, ready to defend his beloved, ready to defend Krishna, ready to defend the process of Krishna consciousness. He has no fear. He stood up and he said in his loud voice, because Advaitacharya had a loud voice, his voice was so loud that he could call the Lord to descend into the Kali Yuga, and the Lord heard him. You know that. He had his shalagram. And feeling compassion for all the fallen conditioned souls, like what's going to happen to all these people, his cries pierced the coverings of the universe and went to the spiritual world, and Krishna heard them. But for that reason, he appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we know he's got a loud voice, Advaitacharya. I mean, this is transcendental as well. But he stood up and he said to those disappointed brahmanas, why not me? Why? He said to Haridas Thakur, feeding you is equal to feeding 10 million brahmanas. Therefore, please accept this Shraddha Patra. Haridas Thakur, ki. Advaitacharya, ki. Of course, the Vaishnavas, they're ecstatic. They're all dancing. But again, the caste-conscious brahmins, they were furious. So they went to see the Muslim leader, and they said, this man is poisoning our religion. And the Muslims also went, and they said, he was a Muslim, and now he became a Hindu, and he's converting other Muslims to become Hindus. So the ruler said, we've got a problem here. The Hindus and the Muslims united against Haridas Thakur. How crazy history is sometimes. The Hindus, who are meant to be his friends, the caste-conscious Brahmins, they're saying, you know, he's not representing our culture. And the Muslims are saying that he was a Muslim, now he's making other Muslims and Hindus. The friend of my enemy, what does that say? The friend of my enemy. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. So the Hindus and Muslims, let's go together and work together and defeat this Haridas Thakur. He's got all odds against him. So what did the Muslim leader do? Put him in prison. They put him in prison. They put him in shackles and dragged him to the prison. You can imagine what prisons were like in those days. Nowadays, there's, you know, treat the prisoners fairly and abolish the death sentence. And you can imagine what the prisons were like in those days. They dragged him to the prison. And as they were dragging him to the prison for the crime of chanting himself and wanting all of those, feeling no revenge, but hoping those Brahmins would also accept these absolute truth, hoping the Muslims, he just was the well-wisher, like Prabhupada said, you're ever a well-wisher. I hope this letter meets you in good health. You're ever a well-wisher. These sadhus, they have the vision of equality. Even their oppressors, please chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. They're dragging him. And in the jail, it's described by acharyas in the jail, they were actually some pious persons, because that's how this world works. Sometimes the good guys get arrested and the bad guys don't. So there's many pious persons, and they saw Haridas Thakur being dragged and to the jail. They were very joyful. They think, oh, we've been rotting in this jail for so long, so now we're going to get the association of a Maha Bhagavata. Now there'll be Bhagavatam classes. So those, they put him in the jail, they put him in solitary confinement, which is like the worst punishment. But those pious criminals, they convinced the guard, they bribed them to have darshan of Haridas Thakur. They were thinking that their miseries would disappear in his presence. It's true. So when Haridas Thakur was actually brought before them, it's described, he glanced at them in a mood of compassion and mercy. Like many times you would see Prabhupada, he'd look at you, and it was just a glance of compassion and mercy. One time I had brought Prabhupada's charter to his room at New Mayapur. He'd left it on the asana out on the grass as he was giving darshan to hundreds of devotees. And after the darshan, devotees started taking prasadam, so Prabhupada came quickly up to his room. He forgot his charter. So Bhagavan Das said, take this charter to Prabhupada's room. Sure. So I went up and I knocked, and there was no reply, so I thought maybe Prabhupada was resting, so I would just put it on his table. So I walked in, and Prabhupada was at this big, we had these big windows, these French windows in the castles were very big, and Prabhupada was standing, watching the hundreds of devotees and guests taking prasadam, and his back was to me and he was watching. So I didn't know what to do because I didn't want to disturb him, so I just kind of stood there at the doorway with the charter. And then Prabhupada, I think he noticed me, whatever, he turned around and he has tears coming down his eyes. And he said out loud, let them take prasad. Let them take prasadam. And he knew the purifying effect, and he was so compassionate for them, that everyone would get that mercy. So Haridas Thakur, he looked at the prisoners with a mood of compassion and mercy. And when the prisoners offered obeisances, it's described, ecstatic symptoms appeared on their bodies, these criminals. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastukoi, Labamatra Sadhu Sangha. But even if ecstatic symptoms, at least there's an awakening of Krishna consciousness in the association of devotees of the Lord. So seeing their devotional sentiments, Haridas Thakur gave them a blessing, an unusual blessing. That's not the blessing. Unusual blessing. He said, I bless all of you that you may stay here forever. Excuse me? Could you repeat that? I bless you, you'll stay here forever. But then he clarified his statement. And the clarification of his statement is given in it's paraphrased by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, again in his commentaries. He says that Haridas said, and we know it's absolutely as it was, Haridas Thakur said to the prisoners, your present state of mind is auspicious for you because you have received the opportunity now to cultivate Krishna consciousness. Here in this prison, you have little or no opportunity for sense gratification. That's good. It's a good place to be. If you are freed from the prison, most likely you will return to sense gratification and become degraded. So stay here. What's more, here you can cultivate Krishna consciousness without any distraction. So do not be distressed. The Vaishnava always blesses living entities with the words, may your devotion to the Supreme Lord be steady. Anyway, he said, I can see your prison life will soon be finished. So the point is, don't forget Krishna wherever you are. That's an instruction. So he stayed in that jail for some time while his case was being considered. Unfortunately, the decision was not favorable. For his crime against humanity of wasting his life by sitting in the forest and mumbling some words and going out and trying to convert other people to his nonsense philosophy in the mind of the jury, he was sentenced to be whipped in 22 marketplaces. We will not discuss that now because it's time for prasadam. We'll go over that pastime as well as his final departure. It's not possible to cover all the episodes of his life in just 4 or 5 days, but we have heard enough these last 3 days and tomorrow to inspire us in our own practices, in our own preaching. I always say we should never forget that this International Society for Krishna Consciousness is a missionary movement. It's meant to spread. So the pastimes of a true missionary should be inspiring us. Vrindavan Das Thakur has written, what to speak of associating personally with Haridas Thakur? Even simply remembering his example and his pastimes causes one to be relieved of all material misery. So hopefully you'll retain what we've been speaking about and you'll remember this when you go home. And as a result, when you go to your workplace, because you'll be freed from the miseries, as Vrindavan Das Thakur has described. The result of hearing this is you become freed from your misery. So when you go back after the Easter vacation at school in the workplace, all your compatriots will say, you look so peaceful, so content, so happy. What happened? Where did you go over the Easter weekend? Well, I went to New Govardhan. Actually, I'm a Hare Krishna. I didn't tell you before. And I was listening to the pastimes of Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur. Sit down, and I'll share them with you. Well, why should I listen? Because Vrindavan Das Thakur says, what to speak of associating personally with Haridas Thakur, even simply remembering his example in pastimes, causes one to be relieved of all material miseries. So sit and listen. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki, Srila Haridas Thakur ki, Sacred Sounds, New Govardhan 2017 ki, Go Bhaktivinoda ki, Hare Krishna Mahamantra ki. And we will finish, as per our tradition in the seminar, with the essence of Haridas Thakur's instructions. And we should open our hearts and let these words of the Thakur, the Namacharya, enter our hearts. The holy name is the purest form of knowledge. It is the best of all vratas or vows, and the highest meditation. It gives the most auspicious fruits. It is the greatest renunciation. It is a matchless spiritual activity. It is the most pious of all holy works. It is the supreme path of self-realization. It offers the greatest liberation and goal. It is the topmost destination. It is the best devotional service and the most purifying agent. It gives love of Godhead and is the essence of remembrance of the Lord. It is the cause of all causes, the supreme absolute truth. It is the most worshipable object and acts as the supreme guide and spiritual master. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.